Kingdom Works with Rick Prosser.
The first circle, and what I would say that every couple needs to start with, is connection.
One of the gentlemen she was talking to every week said that her call is the only person that she talks to other than kind of medical professionals.
We have guys in Stockton, part of our team. We have a ministry team that goes around, just talks to people, knocks on doors, says hello. And the biggest thing they get response for is, can we pray for you?
Elevating the kingdom of God throughout Newcastle and the Hunter. This is Kingdom Works with Rick Prosser.
Hey, Rick Prosser here from Kingdom Works. It's great to be with you again. Go to our website, kingdomworks.org.au, and that's where you can find us. Hey, you're going to love my special guest today, Tom Carr. Welcome to the program, Tom.
Thanks, Rick. Great to be here.
Fantastic. It's good to have you. Tom, you've been for some time involved in prison ministry fellowship. I have a role throughout the state in prison ministry, so hence our discussions around prisons.
That's right.
And those who occupy, those who exit, and probably a few things in between, and how the church and believers can engage in what's a really, really critical area for us of a lot of brokenness.
That's it.
In our community. So, Tom, well done, firstly, for everything that you guys are doing to reach out to, I was about to say reach out to some of the most marginalised people in our community. How would you describe people that are incarcerated in prison?
Yeah, I would say the first thing I would point out is that the people who are in prison, 99% of them, and possibly 100%, but I'll... leave room for error, have suffered some sort of trauma or abuse earlier in their lives. So while we look at these people, we identify them by the things that they've done wrong. We forget about the things that have been done wrong to them to put them in that place.
Very powerful. So true.
And so those are the people that we're meeting with. I mean, if I look at my life, I say, yeah, I grew up in a middle-class home, had more than adequately loving family, grew up in a great family, good school, had everything I needed, life was easy. But you never hear that story from an inmate that says, yeah, I had this great family, great life, did well at school, everything was cruisy, and then at 19, I went out and murdered someone. You know, it's not the story. We've got people that come are broken before they commit their crimes.
That's a really good point, because you know sometimes we can judge people pretty quickly by the circumstance or the situation they're in, and what's caused them to be in the situation they're in. We use a phrase in it, Soul, don't judge people by the chapter of the life that you're reading right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's chapters before that have helped contribute, and hopefully we can engage in some meaningful way to reshape the next chapter of their lives, which is everything about what Prison Fellowship Ministry is about.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's what we're trying to do, look at, okay, you're here. And it's funny, because we as Christians bang on nonstop about forgiveness and forgiveness for all, and, you know, doesn't matter what you did, you're okay as long as you trust your Lord. But we don't do the same. We don't practice that. We look at these people and think, yeah, you know, you're never going to come to Christ. Well, I can tell you it's exactly the opposite. You see these guys in this desperate time in prison, and I see more people come to Christ in there than I've seen in the whole of my life. It's amazing.
Yeah, we have a little bit of engagement in some of the work that we've done in past, but my experience is that those that are like really in desperate places or marginalised or down and out almost are closer to the Lord than most.
Yep, absolutely.
Why is that? I'm not exactly sure why that is. Is it because they're in a place of maybe immobilization? They can consider things more deeply. They begin to ponder future. Is there a common thread?
It is. And I think a lot of it is just absolute lack of hope. So they're in a place where you've got nothing to look forward to. You've got nothing good happening in your life. And I mean, I was running a course a few weeks ago in one of the prisons. It was a Christian course, based around the Gospel of Mark, and I had two Muslims come to the course, which my first thought was, this isn't a great thing. Well, those two Muslims asked some of the best questions and engaged more than anyone. And I had to tell them, and one of the questions they asked was, well, you know, I know who Jesus is, and I know he's going to be there at judgment, which is something I didn't understand about Islam, and he explained to me quite fully. But at the end of the course, I said to him, you know, I'm sorry that I had to point out that my belief is that you're not going to go to heaven just because you know who Jesus is, if you don't follow him. And he said, no, that's great. I want you to be honest and open about that, which was wonderful. But it got me thinking, even people who are not Christians want to come in and hear messages of hope and want to learn more about it and want to know it. And I think that is so encouraging that, you know, no matter who they are, people who are in prison need something to grab onto. And we know what the truth is. That's what we want them to grab onto.
It's very powerful. I mean, people that are, you know, in these situations and vulnerable people, there's just no BS. There's no, like, I've got nothing else to hide.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, no, this is, you know, there's no cover up. You know, so you get that engagement really, really quickly.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, what else? What else? I've got nothing else.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the first thing I discovered when I started going into prisons, which was about 5 years ago, is that if you say one single word that's insincere, they'll squash you like a bug, because they live in an environment where every conversation, every interaction is a transaction. It's either, it does me good, it does me harm, it's going to cost me, it's free. Yeah. In our case, it's that these people come in as volunteers and want to help me. So if you're sincere, they pick up straight away. The first thing they do, every word they hear, is work out why that word is coming to them. So if you're sincere about what you say, you can say anything and everything to them, and they'll respect that.
Yeah.
And they'll answer in the exact same way.
It's astonishing, and I imagine a number of our listeners would relate to the fact when you're broken, actually wholeness can come from that, because of that posture.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in this world, their crimes, the biggest sin of their life has been laid bare on a table. Yeah. So they have got nothing to hide. They're unclothed. So when you come in and say, okay, let's reclothe in this way, that there's a great response and a great hope that comes in that.
Amazing. Hey, if you just joined us, Rick Prosser here, Kingdom Works. A special guest today is Tom Carr from Prison Ministry Fellowship. It's a bit of a sobering conversation, this, but it's very, very real and pertinent to our region with prisons and many people incarcerated for whatever reason. Interestingly, I'm led to believe, I've been told, I don't know whether there's truth in it, but this is the largest prison release geography in the state.
Yes.
That's true.
It is true.
I've been told that. I mean, I encounter a few of them. And all the more that this is so relevant that we have people incarcerated here in our region, and the great need to bring light into those dark places.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just the biggest release area; it's also the biggest region that people will be coming back to when they are released, wherever they're released from. It's it's an easier place to get affordable housing. It's an easier place to get work, that sort of thing. And a lot of people come from this area. You know, it's a well-populated area, so they're not going to settle in, in some nice sort of beach resort town or something. They're going to come to where they can live their lives and that's what this area is.
And we're fortunate this region has a lot of resource of help.
Absolutely.
And service in various areas of need for people exiting prison, but also employment and so on. There's so many opportunities, isn't there? And it's a great place to live. Why wouldn't you want to come back
here? Yeah, that's right.
Just to flesh out a little bit, Tom, your approach, the foundational approach. We touched on it before about judging people. Just flesh that out a little bit, because I think it's a really key message for us, not just for people that are in prison, been in prison, coming out of prison, but for people.
Yeah, yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for people in general, you know, the people that are in prison are sinners, just like myself. I sin each and every day. I wish I didn't. I'd love not to. But it's a fact of life. As Christians, we are sinful people. We live in a broken world.
Yeah.
The people that are in prison have committed sins that we can point at them and say, yeah, yours was way worse than mine. We talk about sin being rejecting God. Well, I reject God each and every way, each and every day in different ways. And so when we look at people who have gone to prison, they've paid the price for their crimes here on earth. Keep that separate from sin, because they've done their time for that.
Yep.
Look at the person who is before you, and you will find that a lot of these people, when you strip that crime away and the penalty that they paid for it away, they are every bit as good people as the people that we're rubbing shoulders with in the churches, in the schools, in the shopping center. They're just the same as everyone else.
Yeah, well said.
But they've done something wrong that they've paid for.
Yeah, and it would be fair to say that we would rub shoulders with people in the community that have probably done more crime. They just haven't been caught.
Absolutely.
Or greater sin, whatever it is. But it's not on the show for everyone.
That's exactly right. And I don't want to push too hard on this point, but I will say that our prisons are very close to half Indigenous people, who a lot of them have done things that, and in fact, we picked one up recently, a girl who was being released from Dilwinia, Aboriginal girl. She'd seen a credit card sticking out of a handbag, grabbed it and bought herself a Happy Meal, and then got picked up for that and spent 9 months pre-sentence in prison. So she's come out with a record of incarceration. If my daughter had done that, she would have got a slap on the wrist. Maybe I would have got a call from the cops and said, come and pick this stupid kid up and give us $12 for the Happy Meal or whatever. But we see people who can't afford legal representation or who are already marginalized in our society. And I will say this, they are absolutely marginalized in our society. Not just in prison, everywhere. And I could bang on about that for hours.
Yeah, and I think you raised a really good point earlier on our conversation that a lot of people find themselves in this circumstance, situation, is from previous trauma.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got some great ministries happening in our region, and one Destiny Haven, and they specialise with women caught in addiction, and a brilliant rehab up in the valley there. And every one of them, it comes back to a childhood trauma, and they're specialising in that. So it's a very real thing. What we're seeing today is really a consequence of previous.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the problem is, the thing that grieves me often is that people who go to prison, especially people who have kids, you know, while they're in prison, their kids are being cared for by one parent or by some grandparents or by in a foster home. Those kids, the likelihood that they're going to end up in prison is huge because they're suffering that trauma as we speak. So what we're always looking to do is just to break that cycle, to have people come out of prison healed, fixed, you know, with some purpose in their life, and they will go on to teach their kids that there is another way.
Now, Tom, we're running out of time. I'm going to get you back next week because this is a really, really important conversation, but the need's great.
The need is great. We need volunteers. We're going to be having info sessions coming up quite frequently that you can join via Zoom. Just get onto prisonfellowship.org.au and you'll be able to look up when our next info session is.
Yeah.
That'll take you through all the programs that we do, the ways that you can get involved personally, whether it be visiting in prison, writing letters to inmates, working with the kids, or even you know, financial donations where someone has to pay my exorbitant wage.
It's probably not that exorbitant.
It's not.
But we'll put all that sort of information in our feeds and on our website, because it's really important. I want to stir us in this region to be active and engaged. And perhaps this conversation and next week when we re-engage with this conversation could be just a prompting, it could be a trigger, that you have a gift that could be stewarded to the people that are caught in prison.
Absolutely.
Tom, great to have you on the program. Let's catch up again next week. Fantastic. Good
work. Thanks, Rick.
Look
forward to it.
And Prison Ministry Fellowship is awesome. It's great being with you again. Go to our website, kingdomworks.org.au. That's where you can find us. And we'd love to connect you with Tom, this ministry, and the opportunities there is for the church to engage in a very, very meaningful way. God bless each and every one of you. Bye for now.
This has been Kingdom Works on Rema FM.